The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Talks are continuing with the agricultural sector as to how they can reach an agreement with government on carbon emission reductions targets. So voices from within the farming industry say that 22% is and should be the target they need to reach. Environmentalists and others within the Green Party in particular say no, they need to cut emissions by up to 30%. Jackie Gall is chair of the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee. Jackie, you, I understand, are firmly in the former group. 22% should be the target. Is that fair?
That's right, yeah. You know, we haven't invested in technology or the infrastructure that's needed for us to get beyond that at the moment. And I've been campaigning very strongly within my parliamentary party that we need a separate budget in place in the budget coming up the last week of September. That, you know, that any sector that, you know, that's investing in reducing emissions, that there will be grants and incentives there for them. 22% is going to be a huge ask for the agri-food industry, and, you know, hopefully we can get there. But, you know, we had a joint Oireachtas committee meeting last Wednesday, and we had various experts in, and, you know, there was different opinions expressed about methane and the effects methane has on the atmosphere. But I have to say I was disappointed in both the Department of the Environment and the Department of Agriculture in their preparedness for reducing emissions and in designing a roadmap to allow farmers and the agri-food industry to get there. So we have an awful lot of work to do within the sector to reduce our emissions to 22%. And I would say, you know, put the target in place at 22% and let's do our best to get there and review it in a couple of years' time.
Sive O'Neill is a lecturer in climate policy and environmental politics at DCU, Dublin City University. Sive, why do you think it needs to be higher than 22%?
Well, first of all, Ireland adopted, the Oireachtas adopted a climate law last year which set a legally binding 51% reduction target by 2030. And that covers all sectors. And that's a legally binding target. And to the best of my knowledge, as a member of the government parties, Jackie Cahill voted for this. Now, the achievement of that target is only possible if every sector makes enough effort. And already agriculture has been given special consideration. So the target of, or the range of between 22 and 30 is much lower than it is for other sectors. The average is about 50-55 for the other sectors and even 80% for electricity sector. So if agriculture only delivers on the lower end of the target, that means that other sectors would have to make up the difference. That's 66% that would be left to meet the overall target and close that emission gap. And it's not feasible. It's just not fair and it's not feasible. It's going to mean higher costs for, on our energy bills. It might mean taking one in four cars off the road, according to Hannah Daly. And it basically creates a situation where we're very likely to exceed the carbon budgets and be in breach of the law that Jackie Cahill voted for last year.
Jackie, there's an undeniable logic, at least to the maths, as Sive sets them out there, isn't there? I mean, if we say, listen, well, agriculture should only hit 22%, that's all that's feasible, then the slack has to be taken up elsewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the cattle numbers in the country over the last 20 years are static. The number of vehicles in the country have gone up by 71%, and the number of passengers through Dublin Airport have gone up by 151%. So, you know, agriculture is static for the last 20 years in regard to cattle numbers. But we also have to remember food security, and food security has to come into this debate. You know, unfortunately, the war in Ukraine has exacerbated, you know, food shortages around the world. But the reality is that there will billions of people be hungry this winter and in a starvation situation. And we are the most sustainable producers of food in the world. And I'm not a climate denier by any means. I accept we have to face up to the challenge of climate change and we have to adopt new methods of production. And you know, the technology is out there and the infrastructure is out there as well. But we are significantly behind the rest of Europe and the rest of the world in implementing this technology. And I'm saying let's get that technology in place. Let's get the infrastructure in place. Let's set a realistic target that the agri-food sector can buy into. And at the moment, that is 22%. And let's review it in a couple of years' time when we have invested in the infrastructure and technology that is available out there in order to reduce emissions.
So, when I asked if the slack would have to be taken up elsewhere, Jackie, you pointed out kind of static herd numbers, but the increase in passenger numbers in Dublin Airport and cars on the road. It sounds like you were suggesting, yeah, if the slack has to be taken up by transport, there's plenty of slack there. Is that what you were saying?
No, what I'm saying, pointing out a fact. The fact is the cattle numbers are stable.
No, I get that, but the question was, like, does the slack, do you accept the logic? Do you accept the logic, though, that other industries will have to make more of a change if agriculture only goes to 22%?
Look, we're all in this together. We all have to try and reduce our emissions. And what I'm clearly saying as a person, I suppose, I'm a farmer myself. I have a lot of experience within the agri-food sector. And I'm saying that, you know, in our 22% is a huge ask for the sector. You have buy-in from the agri-community into getting to that target. And hopefully when we put the technology and infrastructure in place, that we can revisit the emissions target that we can achieve. But at the moment, 22% is a huge ask for the industry. And that's what I would like to see as a realistic target. And that will be decided by Cabinet this week.
Saif, are farmers in Ireland playing catch-up on the technology front when it comes to other means of reducing emissions?
Well,
yes, we're definitely...
That was just for Saif. Sorry, Jackie, apologies.
I think when Deputy Cahill is referring to technology, I can only presume he's referring to biomethane digesters. And these have been implemented in some countries with some success. But it's better seen as a waste management approach and a way for farmers to generate energy from animal waste rather than as a solution to greenhouse gas emissions. Can I just take him up on one point? The dairy cattle numbers are up 50% in the last 10 years. Emissions are what matter here, not actually the number of cows, although that is a driver of emissions. And the emissions from the agricultural sector are 40% of the total. It's a major contribution to Ireland's climate impact. And every time you hear an agri-lobbyist, including Deputy Cahill, who, as I understand it, has shares in Glanbia as well as being involved in the agri-food sector, every time you hear them coming out with arguments about food security and sustainability, it's really about protecting a certain narrow set of farming interests and corporate interests that have expanded milk production and output, expanded the export sector. It has been economically successful, but they are not doing it to feed starving people in Africa. They're doing it because it generates income. Now, what we have to do is address those income gaps for farmers, honestly and openly, and at the same time, find a different model for agriculture that meets our environmental obligations on water, on biodiversity and climate. But it's emissions that matter, and they're going in the wrong direction. So even if beef cow numbers are declining, dairy cow numbers and output is increasing,
and
it's intended to keep it increasing. So its share of the overall greenhouse gas.
Well, I was going to ask that, Saif. I
mean, continue to increase.
And I'm going to go back to Jang in just a moment. But I mean, when you talk about a new sustainable model, what does that look like in the context of a huge new cheese plant being built in South Kilkenny?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch the beginning of your question.
When you talk about a new model, a new sustainable model needed for the future, I mean, what does that look like in the context of a massive new dairy plant, a cheese plant specifically?
This is precisely the problem. This is the problem that the sector has been encouraged to expand. The financial sector has allowed farmers and encouraged farmers to invest. The corporate major producers, Glanbia, Ornua, Kerry Foods and so on, are encouraging farmers. And so there's a number of people who've been encouraged, farmers have been encouraged to expand their dairy herds, and they've encouraged to expand their production to feed this model, to feed these factories and exports. This has been supported by government policy. So it's clear that the policy is only driving us into a situation where we now have to take very difficult decisions. If we hadn't made the decision back in 2011 to expand dairy production, if we had managed the reduction that was already happening in dairy cow numbers after 2011, if we had allowed that situation to stay the same, we would not be facing this crisis. So farmers will say, but this is the one thing we're good at. We're making an income here from this, and we weren't making it doing other things. And that is a real issue. And I think that's what we should be talking about. We need to find models where farmers can generate new income streams from agroforestry, from sustainable land management, from bog rewetting, from biodiversity protection, various types of agri-environmental schemes. But essentially, wherever it's more profitable for farmers to increase their output, they will do that over and above the agri-environmental incentives. So nobody has a problem with supporting those public goods for public money. But the reality is we have a market distortion. And the only way of correcting that is to put a cap on the emissions from the agricultural sector that reflects its fair contribution to climate change.
Jackie, farmers need to stop chasing money and chase a greener, cleaner environment.
Well, first thing I want to say, we'll make no apologies for having a rural economy that is thriving. Dairying is the driving force of rural Ireland, is the economic driving force of it. And as a TD representing a rural constituency, I'm not going to be apologetic about that. We are the most sustainable producers of food in the world, and we will continue to do that. And yes, I am a shareholder at Glanbia, who's processed my milk, and I won't make any apologies for that either. I still run a dairy farm, obviously every milk producer is a member of his own co-op, so I'm not going to make any apologies for being a shareholder of my co-op.
So, if you were saying that's not true, what's not true?
Jackie was making the point that Ireland was the most sustainable producer of these products.
It is.
And it's not the case.
I didn't interrupt you when you were talking. We have environmental experts that are telling us that we're not sustainable. But these are the very same experts that are not making any calculation for the carbon sink of our grass or the carbon sink of our ditches around the country. We have a unique landscape in Ireland, which these environmentalists who are calculating our emissions haven't taken any allowances for. And
but
yes, we can do
more.
We can look. Excuse me, I didn't interrupt you when you were talking. So please let me.
Okay, Jackie, you finish your point, and then let me go back to Si.
No, yes, we can do more things with our slurry. Yes, we can put aeration into our slurry tanks. Yes, we can put rubber on slats. Yes, we can use new varieties of grass that will all help us to reduce our chemical nitrogen usage. All these things can be done, and these things will be done. But, you know, we need investment in these technologies and in the infrastructure. And farming, hopefully, we will get to 22%, which is a big ask for our industry. And when we get there, yes, we can review it in 2 or 3 years' time and see how we can grow on that.
Saif, I suspect you are one of these environmentalists. Your response?
I am a policy person, actually. I focus on policy. I'm not an environmental scientist, but I read the science. I follow the science. And the science is telling us is that we have to reduce our emissions dramatically by 2030 and get to net zero by 2050 at the latest. And the IPCC have recommended specific cuts that apply more, you know, obviously to the agricultural sector in terms of methane reductions by 2030 and by 2050. This is the evidence we should be following. The reality is that the kind of policies that Jackie's talking about have been there in the Chagas MAC curve. This is research they did starting from 2011. And instead of reducing emissions, emissions have increased. We're looking at serious decline in our water quality, which is associated with the dairy industry, particularly in the south and southeast. We have a cumulative and growing environmental problems taking us down the road to climate disaster if we do not take action. And Ireland has signed up to the Paris Agreement, so we are legally bound to make an effort, even if our agricultural sector is larger than in other countries. We are not necessarily the most sustainable producers in the world. The Journal did a very good fact check on that in the last few days. And it's important to remember that beef, lamb and dairy production is one of the most carbon intensive sources of nutrition on the planet.
Okay.
It is not possible to feed the world with the kind of food we produce, unfortunately.
Well, this debate continues. I suspect we'll be having it.
Well, we've done a very good job on feeding the world for centuries, and hopefully we'll continue to do so.
Jackie Cal, Chair of the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee. Saif O'Neill, who's a lecturer in climate policy and environmental politics at DCU. Thank you both very much for joining me. Phyllis is after texting in on 52106 to say, my hero is a Kerry woman called Maureen Sweeney. She was a weather forecaster on Black Sod, and she forecast an impending storm that changed the timing of the D-Day landings. It was based on Maureen's readings with pen and paper that General Dwight D. Eisenhower postponed the landings by 24 hours. Years later, when asked how she felt, she said she was happy she got it right. She was only a young girl, a very brave girl. So says Phyllis. If you stay listening, I'll explain exactly why Phyllis is after getting in touch.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.